Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Aimlessly Aging Geek Podcast. This episode, we're just gonna do a bit of a breakdown, kind of a mid-year review on stuff that I've checked out this year that kind of stood out that I really enjoyed. So there's a lot to talk about. Let's hop into this. So I'm gonna start out with music, because there's a lot of music that I really got into this year. Kind of like I was saying at the end of last year, I was really heavily getting back into heavier stuff like deathcore. Beginning of this year is no different. A lot of my favorite records, albums, what do you want to call them, that have come out this year have been of that genre. Just to name a few, the ones that I probably were on the heaviest rotation for me. First off, Worm Shepherd, Ritual Hymns is the name of the album. Loved it. Black into deathcore. If you're not familiar with what that is, it adds some elements of black metal to it, where you kind of have like symphonic elements to it, like a little bit of like almost like some orchestra behind it, just very kind of haunting, dark, brooding, but still heavy. So that was a really good album this year. That was on heavy rotation for a long time. So was Fit for an Autopsy's album, Oh What the Future Holds. That dropped in January, and I don't think that was on heavy rotation until Worm Shepherd dropped, actually, but that one was just good deathcore, a lot of thrash elements to it. Enterprise Earth's new album was also really good. The Chosen, that was just good deathcore in general. Just nothing more I can say about it. It's just a really enjoyable album. The other one, though, came out around the same time too. Angel Makers was good. It was definitely a lot more like aggressive, like thrash, like it's... I really like that one. A lot of good tracks on it. I have to say, though, probably the deathcore album right behind Worm Shepherd that I listened to the most this year had to be Paleface's album Fear and Dagger. Now, they're a deathcore band out of Switzerland. I hadn't really heard about them until late last year when they started dropping singles for their new album, and there's just a level of just heaviness in this album. Not even necessarily just musically. It's just an intense album. Like, the only word I can think of to describe it is aggressive. Like, this is something you would put on to wake yourself up, honestly. Like, or to get yourself motivated for something. Really enjoyed it. That was on heavy rotation for a while for me. Really enjoyed it, though. Another one that I really liked, not so much deathcore, but just some pure melodic symphonic death metal, or black metal, excuse me, was a new Septic Flesh album, Modern Primitive. I had never heard of these guys before, but apparently they've been around since the 90s. If you're a fan of like black metal bands from like Europe, like Dimmu Borgir, you'll like them. It's the same kind of setup. They've kind of got a clean vocalist. They've got the guy that kind of growls. They implement a lot of like symphony orchestra stuff into their songs. Just really good. I really liked it. Bouncing back over to the deathcore, what we have, Body Snatcher, their new album Bleed Abide. Actually listening to it as I record this episode, but it's really good. It puts the core and deathcore, like it has a lot of like hardcore elements to it, like the breakdown, just general song structure, but then it's just got those other really good like slam elements that deathcore is known for. So it was another one that I really listened to a lot. Spirit Box dropped new music this year. A surprise drop three-song EP that just came out like a week or two ago at the time of this recording. If you're familiar with what I was talking about last year, you listened to any of my stuff, you'll know that Spirit Box's album Eternal Blue was one of my favorite albums from last year, and this new EP that they released just shows that they're still evolving their sound, and it's still, but still kind of keeping what makes them Spirit Box. Really good. The title track off the EP, Rotoscope, just very, very catchy. It's very much, as the kids say, a vibe. Like, it's heavy, but you can really, like, groove to it, vibe to it. Of course, we're not going to talk about my favorite music of the year without bringing up Mood Ring. From my last episode, you know that I talked about Mood Ring, kind of did a little bit of an album review, and nothing's changed here. Like, it was my top album of last month, June of 2022. Honestly, I think it's probably gonna be my album of the year. I'm pretty sure I said that last episode too, but if you didn't listen to my last episode, check it out. Album's called Stargazer. The band is Mood Ring. It's, if you like the Deftones, you're really gonna like it. They kind of encompass kind of all Deftones throughout their career, because, you know, Deftones of themselves kind of started adding different influences as they grew older as a band. And Mood Ring does the same thing. They've got like some shoegaze elements. They've got almost like some industrial rock elements with it. It's just really good. I can't talk about it enough. Like I said, that album was on repeat a lot this last month, and it's gonna stay on repeat. I just love the album front to back. There are a few standout tracks that I really like Peel or Nike, Sync.Wave, just stellar. But yeah, that's really all I have for this part. I'm going to come back and talk about a little bit gaming-wise that I've been getting into this year. But yeah, return after a quick break. All right, everybody. Thanks for sticking around through the break. This portion, I'm going to talk a little bit about the games I really got into this year. Kind of a shorter list. I haven't really had as much time to game this year as I usually do, especially with like new games. So I haven't really played a lot of new releases this year, to be honest. The first one I really did, I talked about back in February. That was Pokemon Legends Arceus or Arceus. I've heard it both ways, but if you listen to that episode, you know I really liked it. I feel like it really breathed some fresh air into Pokemon by adding the elements of like sneaking around, catching wild Pokemon without battling them, almost like a Monster Hunter style, you know, way to traverse the overworld, the environment, hiding in tall grass, using bait to lure Pokemon over and catching them unawares, having a mount to ride around. It was fun. I thought it brought a lot of new things to Pokemon that I've always wanted Pokemon to be, that I imagined it as a kid walking around, you know, playing the original games, walking around catching Pokemon, you know, having the roles reversed instead of Pokemon surprising you from the tall grass and getting in a fight with you. You're the ones sneak attacking from the tall grass to catch them or to battle them or whatnot. Having that Pokedex that really focused on catching them and using the Pokemon in battles and stuff to check out their different attacks and moves to help fill out the Pokedex as a more of like a research thing, as opposed to capturing them and battling them, which all the other Pokemon games up to date have really been the main focus of with the story, is just becoming a powerful trainer. With this one, you know, they switched it up. Instead of trying to become a powerful trainer in battles, you're basically doing it for like science and research to help understand Pokemon better, to know how people and Pokemon could coexist together. So that's what I also thought was a little cooler too, not being focused just on the fighting portion. Then, as far as other games, you know that one of my played games this year that I was really excited about that I talked about last episode was TMNT Shredder's Revenge. Great throwback to the classic beat-em-ups of the day. You know, the Super NES era type games, 8 and 16-bit and arcade beat-em-ups. It had all the great elements of the old Turtles games, like Turtles in Time, the arcade game, Manhattan Project. All of, it kind of has a nod to each of the Turtle beat-em-up games in it, but with a nice new, for breath of fresh air in it, I guess, for lack of a better term. Like I said in my last episode, it was developed by the same company that did Streets of Rage 4 a few years back, and they were able to bring a classic gaming franchise into the modern day with a bunch of different tweaks and stuff. So that was cool to see. It's fun, hectic co-op where you can have up to 6 players either on the same console or online. 7 playable characters, the 4 turtles, and then Splinter, April, and Casey Jones. A story mode where you get a different cutscene for each character when you beat it. Add some replayability. There's challenges. There's the classic arcade mode where you just try to go through it with a limited number of lives. The gameplay itself is simple, but there's also, you know, you can master things like dodging and combos and stuff like that. It's just satisfying, very satisfying beat-em-up game. A lot of beat-em-ups, you know, they suffice, they do their job that they're supposed to do, and they're, you know, they're fun, and that's all and well, but it takes, I feel like it takes a lot for that simple style of game. It feels like it takes a lot more for them to, like, be above average. Like, they really have to do something well, because a lot of beat-em-ups, you can go through level to level beating up guys, and it's, you know, satisfying for a while, blow off some steam, whatnot. But for it to have, like, staying power, you've got to be really doing something well, and they did here. Just like with, I never played Streets of Rage 4, but I heard a lot of good things about it. Like I said, a lot of replayability. It's got that classic, like, 16-bit graphic style. It's got great music that sounds like it would have been in a Turtles game back in the 90s. Plus, it's got like new tracks in it that were recorded specifically for this game. It's just fun. It's a lot of fun. It's got those funny little elements that are in the Turtles games. Like if you fall in a hole, you know, a little speech bubble pops up when your character's like, who turned out the lights and whatnot. It's just, it's great. And plus, for it being like a budget title too, like I think it's like $25 or something like that to download. I mean, it's definitely worth picking up especially if you're a fan of the Turtles and the old beat-em-ups. Also, it makes me look forward to later this year, because there is an actual full Turtles collection coming out of a bunch of the old Turtles games, like the arcade game, TMNT 1, a bunch of the games from like the Game Boy, Manhattan Project, Turtles 4, Turtles in Time, the Genesis, Nintendo, and Super Nintendo version of the Tournament Fighters game. A lot of the games are also going to have their arcade versions, so not just the actual console versions from the time, but the actual arcade versions that you would play in an actual arcade. So that'll be cool to pick up. I'll probably get that later this year too. But finally, it is a new game. It's not out yet, but the other one I wanted to talk about that I put a little bit of time in with that I haven't really got to talk about is Gundam Evolution. Now, I'm a fan of Gundam. I'm not super hardcore, but I love the anime. Gundam Wing was the first one I ever watched growing up on Toonami. And then it just kind of got me interested in, like, mechs and stuff like that, which I already kind of was, I guess, since I like Transformers and Voltron. But I guess it just kind of kept me in it and let me know that there was more out there than those. But Gundam Evolution is basically just the easiest way to say it is it's Overwatch with Gundam. And it's not like, you know, it's not like a cheap cat anime cash in of something. It's a very competent hero shooter with Gundam as your characters. It's not out yet. I was lucky enough to get a beta key. Well, not even a beta key, but a closed network test key for the console version of the game. And I was able to play it over the closed network test period, which was like 3 or 4 days, I think, in June. But I was able to put some time in it. I put maybe a dozen hours, not a ton, but enough to get used to it. And it was really fun. It's coming out later this year. It'll be free to play. Just like another mobile suit Gundam shooter that came out a couple years ago, the Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation 2. So it's going to be like that, but as opposed to third person like that game was, of course, this one's going to be first person, just like Overwatch. But if you've played Overwatch, you've played this. I mean, you pick a mobile suit unit that, you know, whichever one you're more familiar with or like the best. And each unit has different abilities that can be used in battle, different weapons. Of course, it's just like Overwatch where you have infinite ammo. The only thing you have to worry about is reloading if your weapon needs a reload. But yeah, I mean, it's got stuff from like newer Gundam, like Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans. It's got Gundam Barbados from that. It's got old stuff from like the classic Gundam series, like the Gun Tank or Zaku's. There's not really classes or roles like there is in Overwatch per se. Like, I at least in the closed network test build that they had, they didn't break up the Gundams into different roles like support, damage, tank, stuff like that. But I mean, you definitely could tell which ones fit which role. Like, you've had different suits like the Sazabi that had a shield that whenever you'd aim down the sights, your shield would pull up to block. The OG Mobile Suit Gundam was in there too. Same thing, had a shield. But then you have other ones like the Methus that worked as kind of like a healing role. They could shoot out like this tether that would kind of link you and a friendly Gundam unit together, or a friendly unit, not all of them are Gundams, but a friendly unit, and you would heal them over time. So it really like mixes it up. There's some that are just like all-arounders, kind of like how Soldier 76 is, where has a lot of damage dealing and a little bit of mobility, but also has like can lay down a healing field. But it was fun. Like, it's fast-paced. You know, you've got like boosters, like your jet boosters to move around. So there's a lot of mobility. I like it because it is faster paced than Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation 2. That game was fun in its own right. It really felt more like you were moving like a walking tank though in those games. It was a lot like slower and more tactical, I guess, in that respect. Not saying that this one isn't, because of course hero shooters, you still kind of have to be a little tactical with like the use of your powers, but the experience on Evolution is just more fluid, in my opinion. So I'm looking forward to that coming out later this year, or I think it's supposed to be this year. My time will get pulled between that and Overwatch 2, which will also be coming out this year and is going to be free to play. But yeah, this is kind of the stuff I've been up to this year. You know the drill. If you want to keep up with what I'm doing, you can follow me on social media, both for my main streaming page, Pair to Wear, or the podcast page, Aimlessly Aging Geek, on everything. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Shout out to Ritual Motion. Of course, with Ritual Motion, you can use code Pair to Wear to get 10% off anything there, and using that code also throws a little bit of support my way. So yeah, thanks for listening to my kind of mid-year review of things, and we'll catch you next time.